visit families and friends somewhere beyond La Belle, if there is such a place. And then some others of you are just concerned about the fact that you would not be working on Monday the 26th. I mean, it's a holiday, right? It's all you care about. We all live lives that are very busy. Man, it is hectic. You have homes, you have work, jobs, properties that you have to take care of, children at home. You may even have other relatives that you have to take care of. You may have pets, God forbid, but some of you do have pets. They need constant attention. In fact, you can't even get away from the house sometimes. That's slavery. But that's what you want, right? And then you have friends. And you have a social life, hopefully, that you have to stay in touch with on a regular basis, after all. You know, you got, what, more than 100 likes on your whatever you use. And finally, you have commitments. You have projects, right, Vinny? You have activities that you have promised yourself to get done sometime soon. And sometimes they just don't happen quick enough. Sometimes life feels like we're floating down this raging river, downhill. Now the riverbanks, they're beautiful. The scenery around the river is great. The water, man, is crystal clear. You can see the bottom, all the way to the bottom of the riverbed. But you're so busy looking at the dangerous rocks ahead, the sharp logs that are sticking out of the banks, the rapids that often show up out of nowhere. There's a tree on the side of the bank. You can imagine it. Beautiful tree. A unique form that the rocks have made on the other side. And even there's a path where animals are coming to drink water from the river. But you did not get to see any of it. You were too busy trying to stay upright and properly balanced on that raft down the river. That's what life feels like, doesn't it? At times. Life happens right in front of us. All the time, continuously. The tragedy is that when the raft finally gets to slow down to a calm peace, life has already taken place. And you cannot go back and see what you missed along the way because you were so concerned about that going, showing up here, too busy to look and enjoy the ride. Yesterday, Yolanda, Melanie, and I were sitting at a table. And Melanie and I, we must confess, we were looking at our phones. And Yolanda was there like, these people don't want to talk or what? It suddenly dawned on me that where I was sitting with two ladies on a table, and I was looking at my phone. The things I criticized so much, and I was doing it myself. I put my phone down. I said, boy, these phones can be addictive. And Yolanda said, yeah, isn't that the truth? Looking at us. Melanie put her phone down immediately after me. We were convicted. And I was able to enjoy a nice chat. Enjoy the smile of two ladies before me. And spend an enjoyable bonding time with them. I almost missed it because of a stupid phone. Paying attention to what? There are times I need to look at my phone, but not 8 hours a day. For sure, if we don't intentionally slow down and take about an hour a day to stop the rush of your current life, if we don't do that on a regular basis, we are going to miss life. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I have found out that this thief has two strategies of choice. He'll try to neutralize you into be so passive that you're just a veggie, you know. Like you with a remote, click, click, click. Spend all night, spend hours looking for something, click, click, click. And you don't have choices at home, right? You got gazillion channels now, and movies, and programs, and TV shows, and series, and those smart TVs, man, they got it. So the enemy just wants you to take a couch and just relax. But if he does not succeed there, what he does, he's get you to go 100 miles an hour until you crash. You go so fast in this life, you don't enjoy anything. Then the next thing, and then the next thing, and then the next thing. You don't enjoy any of it. You think you're succeeding, you're missing out. He comes to steal your time, your life, to kill you emotionally, spiritually, and to destroy you and your relationship with our Lord Jesus. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life, and not just life, abundant life. He steals our time, the enemy. He steals our clean fun. And he steals those things that the Lord intended for us to enjoy. Oh, the Lord is all about enjoyment. Sure, there's some sacrifices that we do have to do on time. That's not because the Lord forces us. It's because we need to teach his body to behave. And our body rebels. Many of us are so busy during the Christmas season that we don't really realize what is this season we're celebrating. all about. It's party time. Why? You don't even ask. You just go for the party. Yeah, activities are very important. And yes, you need to stay in contact with your family, your friends, your loved ones. You need to remember to send them a Christmas card. Get presents for them, yes. Pay them a visit once in a while, yes. Invite them for a meal at your place, yes. Why do we do all of that at this time? It says in the world, in the Word, John 3, that because God so loved the people in this world so much that he gave his Son to take our deserved punishment for our sin. And once we receive that gift from God, Jesus, into our hearts, we are a family in God and in the Lord Jesus. We're an eternal family, as we are hopefully in this place today. And families are meant to fellowship, to enjoy life together, to go through life supporting and strengthening one another, encouraging one another, helping one another. That's what life was supposed to be, is supposed to be. There are two Gospels in the New Testament that have narratives concerning the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. Mark and John went into Jesus already a little older. When was the last time you read the two chapters in Matthew and the two chapters in Luke? Have you ever read them? I mean, you probably have heard them read to you, but have you? They reveal to us the reason that we celebrate this Christmas season. And in these narratives, we find quite a few interactions that we are to copy and to emulate in our lives. Some of the things we can miss while skimming too fast through these chapters are, like for example, in Matthew, there's a description of the genealogy of a baby boy. You know, some of us look at that in Matthew and we just skip over that genealogy. Interesting. There's also a betrothal between a man and a woman described there, and their different circumstances. Very interesting. Much better than a soap opera in the TV. There are dreams that God used to lead and guide people. It describes the efforts of royalty to find and honor the highest king of all times. Some kings came to worship a king. And it talks about how that happened. It also talks about the wickedness of one wicked person to destroy a baby who was the hope of mankind. Not only was, but is. Also in Matthew, it describes a traveling schedule of a family in distress. Then in Luke, there are other aspects of the same season described. There's a description of one special day in the duties of a priest. There's a promise to barren parents of a child that was going to be fulfilled. There's a description of a visit that a pregnant woman gave to another pregnant woman. There's a talk and a description of a baby filled with the Holy Spirit while in his mother's womb. And then the description of the birth of both babies and their unique circumstances. It talks, like my wife said a while ago, of a census. Wow. That far back, and they were doing census. Of course. Government is always looking for money. And they want to know how many people are there so that they can extract their money. There's a mention in Luke about a chorus, a choir, a heavenly choir that was heard on earth on a blessed night. There's a description of a presentation of a baby in the temple. Can you relate to that? It almost happened here just now. And we see it here, but I don't understand what happened. Listen, this is life. It's happening. And finally, Luke describes a trip of a family of a 12-year-old and the different circumstances. That's quite interesting. And here you are busy about who won The Voice, you know. You spent 2 hours watching, and you knew what was going to happen. Country prevailed, right? I happened to watch this last season. And I was rooting for the guy that his last song was one dedicated to the Lord. And I wanted him to win so bad, but it didn't. Cowboys prevailed. So what am I saying by saying all of this? Well, you're going to get up early. Get out early today. That's great. This is not just because I want you to go shopping early. I am really proposing to you that you take an hour, sometime between lunch and bedtime today, and read these four chapters. First two chapters of Matthew and the first two chapters of Luke. Put away everything else. Shut the phone down. Turn the TV off. Seclude yourself. I know that you have to make a trip to the store. Maybe you can skip the TV this evening and read tonight slowly. It would be good to ask the Lord to show you what he wants you to see in these verses that you're reading. This is not just entertainment. This is instruction, and this is leading and guiding. You know what? The stories that are related in these two books, in these four chapters, they're part of life. A life where God is in the midst. And your life and my life, God is supposed to be involved with. And sometimes we leave God just for Sunday morning for 2 hours, and then the rest is ours to do as we wish. And we wonder, why are we empty, purposeless, aimlessly going through life like a herd of cattle, not knowing where they're headed, but they're just going as fast as they can, because that's what everybody else is doing. That's not the kind of life God wants us to live. Some of you are so used to have someone read scripture to you. I like to read scripture to you every Sunday. And today I decided not to, because I want you to do it on your own. Some of you read but prefer for someone else to digest it for you. I'm not even going to do that today. Well, I did some of it. I just related some of the events that are described there, but you have to read them to enjoy them. If you take the time to slowly read these verses, I promise you, you will see something new that you did not realize until then. There's a time to be busy about the daily things of life. But there are other times that we need to learn and realize what are the reasons and the purposes for the life that you're living. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, the writer, Solomon, writes, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away." I have missed that one. I don't throw away anything. Right, Diane? Yeah. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. And then this preacher, Solomon, makes a question. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? Have you wondered? Have you wondered where your life is headed if you continue the path that you're doing right now? I mean, you can compare yourself with others, or you can ask the Lord, "Lord, what is the purpose you have for my life?" And believe me, every one of us is unique in the answer to that question. God has very specific things for us to accomplish within our lifetime. And all we do is copy everybody else. And we don't spend time asking the Lord, "What is this special thing that you want to make out of my life so that I can be productive to the world you put me in and be pleasing in your sight?" My wife just got a new phone. You know, she used to have an iPhone number 3 or 2, I forget what. It was an old one. And she got an iPhone 14. And you know what? The silly thing doesn't even have a manual. Not that she will read it. Manuals are not her thing. Even if it was, you know, manual for dummies or iPhone for dummies or whatever, she wouldn't read it anyway. And so, you know, there were some gadgets that needed to be connected to the phone. And so, you know, she would just, here, get this connected. Daniel, Daddy, Leda, whoever, get this down. How do I get out? How the, you know, all this swiping and all. And then to top it all, they gave her a little bracelet, a Fitbit or something like that. Even more fancy stuff. And she can swipe this way, she can slap that way, that way, that way. She discovered that whenever she gets her text in the phone, she can look at it in her wrist. How cool is that? Would you ask her to do anything? I don't know what to do. I just work here, right? No manual. And so I am trying to figure out and going into Google and how do you do this on an iPhone 14. Got some answers, got her going. That's no way to live. Always depending on somebody else. And they can be as in the dark as you are. Because I know they don't read a manual either. So you depend on the experiences of somebody else. And yet God has asked you to do unique things. God gave us a manual. Not like iPhone 14. He gave us a good manual. And he's got a lot of instructions for us. And you know what? You think, because you haven't gotten into this, you think it's boring. Just like you look at manuals and you never read manuals and you think, I can't do that. But when you get in trouble, you go to the section that talks about that. This is how it works. And this works now. And life and manuals have a new meaning for you now because you actually understood them. Before, you thought you didn't need them. But we do. And so is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are called to be a Christian, God has a particular and unique plan and a purpose for you. It's not like the life of a herd that just goes in masses towards a cliff. No, he wants to individually take you through several places. And life becomes very interesting when the Lord leads it. So this is an exhortation before we get any further into the next year. I pray that you start a habit of reading, of calming down from the hustle and bustle of the life that we live in today, where we can put away our phones, our TV, go to a quiet place, get our Bibles. I mean, you can use the phone, but why the temptation? Just take your hardcore Bible and read and mark what you read and every day read a little bit. Pretty soon you'll discover a new world and you will discover that God is talking to you and leading you in paths that lead to the abundant life that he promised you. You know, you think that we're knowledgeable in the Word and that, you know, our life is exciting, and it is. Because we discover that God is talking to us through his Word. And he leads and guides us. Just like Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, He meets all my needs. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He allows me to drink and eat of the goodness that he intended for me to. And then at the end of the day, I can lay down my head with a clear conscience, knowing that because he led me and I followed, everything is taken care of. That is the kind of life he wants us to live. But we will not do it until we get out of that rush of that river and enjoy the meadows, the banks, all the other things that God has provided for each one of us individually in our different circumstances. So in this Christmas time, don't just let it drive you like a mad person. Take your time. Enjoy the season. Fellowship. I mean, talking face to face with one another. And enjoy life the way God intended to. Father, I thank you for bringing different seasons into our lives, giving us people and communities to celebrate with and interact with. Thank you for the technologies that you give us, that distance is not such a big problem anymore because we can connect through different devices. But Father, we want that one-on-one communication with people, and we need it with you as well, Father. Help us to connect with you and with those that you have set before us to minister and to be ministered by, that we can enjoy the full life that you intended, and that we can accomplish the things that are really important for this season of our existence. Lord, I bless you people. I pray that this year would be a different year, a better year-end celebration. And Father, that we would adopt new habits that will lead us to fellowship with you in a more intimate way, and a manual that we can understand so that we can do the things you call us to. Lord, I bless you people, and I thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.